Oh, when I need a laugh, there's a helping people. But Don Bart's talking to these funny people. He's asking what they find and they're telling stories. Can somebody yell out the name of the show, please? It's my mate, Water Toaster. Oh, oh. It's my mate, Water Toaster. Yeah, yeah. It's my mate, Water Toaster. Oh, oh. Toast them all, my love. Thank God, toast them.
Hello, look, I know it is, what, Thursday, and you're used to only having one episode of My Mate Bought a Toaster a week, which is, you know, I think enough. But I've decided to do a little extra dose. I want to call it an extra slice, but I think someone else has nabbed an extra slice. We thought we would go through and toast. Why not? We're going to be toasting the wonderful Joe Swash, whose episode you will hopefully have heard by now. Of course, it dropped on Tuesday this week. We recorded it ages ago. I've been sitting on this egg of absolute gold for the last several months, desperate to tell you all about it. And finally, it's out there and it's a great episode. So I thought, why not? Let's have a little discussion and go through some of the things he bought and have a little dwell on some of those items. Because in the moment, I only had an hour with him and there were so many things I wanted to talk about more. But he had to go and make his wonderful documentary, Stacey and Joe, which, of course, you can watch on iPlayer, which I recommend you watching last Tuesday's episode, obviously, because I is on it. We is on it. The podcast is on it. So the plan today then is to go through the Joe Swash episode an item at a time, maybe, or just have a little walk around it. If there's any items which we think you should be looking at or we'd recommend, I will put links. They're affiliate links. Okay, just to warn you, I will put affiliate links in the episode description today. So anything in there which you see and you like and you think, yeah, I fancy that, then there'll be a link in the episode description. Okay, I can't do this alone because that would be just far too self-indulgent, even by my high standards of self-indulgence. So I have made one heck of a booking for today's recording. It's taken me many, many months of wrangling. I've been in touch with agents. I've been in touch with diplomats to try and get this person here on time to do this recording. So joining me today, I'd love it if you would give a very warm toaster welcome to a former guest on this show, in fact, and the Sunday Times top 10 best-selling author, and also my wife, who happened to be downstairs, Beth Morrie. Hello.
Hello.
Hello, my wife.
Thank you for choosing me above one of the dogs.
Yeah, that is, well, the dogs are actually sitting here just sort of to paint the picture. Which dog can you see, by the way, right now?
Phoebe.
Yeah. Yeah. So Phoebe is the large white dog that we have. Much bigger than the dogs that Joe Swash has got. Did you? You obviously watched the documentary.
Yeah, I've been watching the doc and loving it. Yeah, they've got some little kind of sausage dog, long-haired sausage. Yeah. Oh, what's it called?
Dachshund.
But no, but what's the dog called?
Oh,
it's called something funny.
Well, you've got a superpower, haven't you?
We should
very quickly discuss this before we get into Joe's purchase history. By the way, the first thing I want to talk about is the tongue scraper. So we will.
So gross.
But Beth's superpower is that you can remember the name of any dog we have met at any stage in our life together. Which is now, by the way, I don't want to get too, you know, lovey-dovey, but it's 22 years today that we first met.
I know, and I don't feel lovey-dovey at all about that. I just feel depressed that we're so old.
Thank you.
Sorry about that.
I don't come out of that formula very well.
I'm only thinking of myself.
Yeah, I know. That's why our relationship works so well. We're both just thinking of ourselves and we happen to live together. So look, by the way, on the dog thing, the name of the dog we met in the French restaurant in Provence 3 years ago.
Rantonbleu.
The name of the dog who was a Great Dane who we just stared at for our first date together 22 years ago.
I can remember. Oh. It was a like Victorian Prime Minister.
Yes.
Not Mel, but Gladstone.
Yeah, very good. Very good. Tongue scrapers. Have you ever thought about getting a tongue scraper?
No. And my initial response to Joe having bought them, the his and hers tongue scrapers, was that is disgusting.
Disgusting.
But then when I thought about it a bit more, he sort of infected me with an urge to buy one and I started worrying about my own breath. So actually, as you said in the podcast, I think he's quite a good salesman.
Yeah, he was very enthusiastic about it. But he was very enthusiastic about absolutely everything. He was so bouncy, and every topic and every item he brought up, it was just like, yeah, of course I've got that. But the tongue scraper particularly was particularly enjoyable was the his and hers.
Yes, that's what made it.
Could you imagine a level of intimacy, which even after 22 years, I'm very glad to say we don't have, where we would scrape our tongues together and then compare sediment?
Well, it could have been worse. He could have just bought one tongue scraper for both of them.
But you've got, do that about your tongue. Because you have quite a, what's that thing when you...
Geographic tongue.
Can you now explain what geographic tongue
is? Well, I'm not sure what it is, but the dentist once told me I have it. It's a harmless condition. Like, it's like a where your tongue goes really patchy in different colours. Like it gets white patches on it. And it looks slightly gross, but it doesn't really mean anything.
It looks like you're incredibly ill.
I don't think a tongue scraper would make any difference to that.
So the idea is, it's a breath-based thing, isn't it? There's some great reviews if you have a look on Amazon for tongue scrapers. And we will share, as I was saying earlier on, we'll share a affiliate link, although I don't think we're particularly selling them, to be honest. But
no.
Listen, if you have got a tongue scraper and you use one, get in touch with the show, tom@toasterpod.com.
Recommend a particular brand.
Yeah. And has it made a difference? Do people now sit next to you on the tube? Because the thing about breath, have you ever told someone they've got bad breath?
Never.
But there's a couple of people at work, right? Who I actually genuinely don't work closely with. I only see them sporadically at work. And I see them and I know they're the ones with bad breath.
Mm. It's a big deal.
But I think, why don't we become more open to the idea of saying, hey man, gotta run you through a thing.
It's a taboo. It's like telling someone how much you earn. It's just not done.
How much do you... No, okay. This is from Tara. This is a review of the tongue scraper. I had no idea how much harmful bacteria builds up on the tongue. She has drunk the Kool-Aid. The tongue-scraping Kool-Aid.
Scraped it off.
She really has. I had no idea how much harmful bacteria builds up on the tongue and how it can naturally impact health if not removed daily. Oh, that's nonsense, isn't it?
Oh, I'm seduced by things like this. I also want to say, even though it mystifies me, I love that people will buy a tongue scraper, use it, and then go online to write a detailed review of it.
Oh, well, Tara,
that's incredible.
Well, don't forget, this is written, by the way, 30th of December 2024, so after maybe an overindulgent Christmas, and she wanted to sort of rein it in a bit. Don't forget, do people, and I'm not saying this is what Tara's doing, who knows, but people get paid to go and write reviews.
Do they?
Yeah.
How do you
get paid? Yeah, they do, they get paid.
Have you ever written an Amazon review?
Yeah, of your books.
Oh, great. I hope you've given me 5 stars.
No. Yeah, just some constructive feedback, really. Just sort of, you know, letting you know that more of your books should be dedicated to me. I think that was the way. Unfortunately, you dropped a star because you didn't name me at the beginning. This goes back to Tara's tongue scraper review. After researching the link between oral and gut health. Oh, no, gut health.
I'm just laughing at the word oral because
okay,
I'm filthy.
Okay. I decided to try tongue scraping. I was horrified by what these scrapers removed on the first use. The build-up and smell were shocking. This is really gross, isn't it? These scrapers are made of high-quality stainless steel. She's being paid.
This is paid. I don't believe it.
Imagine getting income from big tongue scraper, making them durable and super easy to clean. Oh, get lost. I'm going to move on from this review because I just... For this price, this product is absolutely amazing. It's like £7. And there's a picture of...
£7, in my opinion, is too much because I really liked what Joe said about all the stuff he buys is quite cheap.
Yeah.
And if it's below a tenner and you vaguely think it might make a sort of vaguely positive impact to your life, you're buying it. And for me, although it's under a tenner, £7 is too much for a tongue scraper. I would pay £3 for a tongue scraper.
But then you're in the danger zone where you're like, well, this is probably made of dodgy metal. And I'm, you know what I mean? I'd want to be reassuringly... This is something I'm going to be...
Yeah, BPA free.
Exactly. And this is something... Oh, God. Do you want to do BPA now? Because I feel like that's a tangent we could get into on this show.
I don't even know what BPA is. I just think it's bad.
No, but you've done all this stuff with all this stuff in the house. You've bought new...
Yes.
Okay. So Beth has bought a whole array of new Tupperware and pots and pans. And is it because of BPA?
Not the pots and pans is something to do with like...
microplastics.
Yeah, and leaching into your food that I read about. But I read these things really quickly and I get a vague sense of what... of the message.
Yeah.
And then I rush out and do something about it and then I forget why I've done it in the first place. But the pots and pans was it leaches something to your food. And similarly with the Tupperware, when you microwave it, it just sends plastic into your food and it's bad.
Have they discovered, and I'm not going to name the product here, but we all know the famous non-stick product.
I know, I deliberately tried not to say it.
Don't name it, but I don't know anything about it. Right, let me make that absolutely clear. But isn't there a thread on the internet that says that stuff isn't great?
Yeah, the Daily Mail occasionally runs scaremongering articles about it, but it probably is bad.
So we've now got, I mean, how, this is just, I don't want this podcast spin-off to be some sort of brag thing. I don't think this is a boast, in fact. I think this is tragic. We've now got glass Tupperware. It's just insane.
I know, but I feel really happy about it.
Yeah, but the kids can't take that to school.
No, that's an issue which I'm in the process of trying to fix.
And you dropped Tupperware. Tupperware is designed to be dropped.
Well, I found that you can get like stainless steel tiffin tins. And I thought about buying those for the boys to take to school because obviously glass is an issue. And every time I take something out of the microwave now, I'm thinking one day it's going to fall on the floor, smash everywhere, and I'm just going to want to have Tupperware leaching into my food instead.
But you have bought the... so you bought new pots and pans, which seem very nice. Obviously, I use them most days and they work for me. And also...
All that cooking you're doing.
Yeah. And also, I don't want to be that cliched man, but also the cutting board as well.
Yes.
What's that made of? Because this is a product we should recommend.
Something like nutmeg.
Okay.
The renowned food writer, Kathy Slack, recommended this to me. And like a lot of what she recommends, I went online and looked at it and went, how much?
Yeah.
But then there was a deal on.
Can you do
on...
that? Sorry, this is the Beth Murray being offended by...
How much?
No, you must be joking. That's over £3. So hang on. Is it nutmeg? Do you know that?
Well, it's made of nutmeg, I think, but I can't remember what the board is. I had it on my wish list for a while and then I just watched it because what I do on the Amazon is I put it on my wish list and then I watch it like a hawk. And if it comes down at all, even by a few pence, then I swoop in. Right. And that's what I did with this board and it's really good. And you can put it in the dishwasher.
It is really nice.
But it's better than those IKEA plastic ones that everyone has.
But I would say, so the IKEA plastic ones that we had for years.
Yeah, they were really old.
And were even I, and I am not scared of any of this stuff. I just think, oh, well. But even I was noticing when you cut on the board and you'd see little chips of plastic and think, that isn't great.
No.
That isn't great. But then equally, isn't plastic so benign that it just sort of flies through your system and cheers all the best?
Oh, I don't think so, because everyone's worried about microplastics in your brain and stuff like that, and in fish in the sea and stuff. So it is bad. Okay. But I assumed that the tongue scrapers were made of, like, stainless steel or something like that. That seemed to me what a tongue scraper should be made of.
Yes, that's what Tara pointed out. Durable.
Not plastic. So if it's stainless steel, it's fine.
Yeah. It's stainless steel. So look, that's tongue scrapers from the Joe Swash episode, which was out earlier on this week. What else, Beth Murray, before we go to our ads, which we're going to do in a few minutes' time, what other products or moments did you enjoy from the episode, please?
Well, when we're talking on the subject of romance, the thing that I really, really loved from the episode was the moulds that you put around watermelons to make them grow into funny shapes.
Yes.
Because I loved Joe's glee.
Yes.
And I also loved how completely shit it sounded.
It sounds so rubbish. So hang on, watermelon, let's see if they're on Amazon.
I've looked them up on Amazon and they don't get good reviews.
Oh.
In general.
Oh, okay.
One that I did like is you can get cucumber molds that grow the cucumber into a star shape. And I thought that was really sweet.
But don't you feel like this is a slight... because Stacey pointed out in the episode, Joe said that Stacey thought it was cruel to grow a watermelon into the shape of Donald Trump, which is obviously cruel to do anything. To grow anything into the shape of Donald Trump is cruel.
It's not ideal.
No.
She meant growing a watermelon into any shape is squeezing it.
Yes, it feels
unnaturally.
It feels a bit battery farmy. You know, is it the veal of the vegan world? Is that what people are doing here? They're battery farming their cucumbers and their watermelons.
I wasn't particularly sympathetic to the watermelon. Right. Mainly, I was thinking that if I know he said that Stacey's turned into a bit of a Charlie Dimmock of her time.
Yeah,
but it seemed to me that you'd have to be a really keen vegetable grower and with lots of space, as they do have at Pickle Cottage, to grow watermelons because they're massive.
Yeah.
So it just felt like a niche product for a niche growing thing. Whereas the star-shaped cucumbers felt a bit more everyman.
Star-shaped cucumbers is nice.
I feel like I might be able to grow a cucumber maybe.
But there's a danger there because most people, let's be honest, will be doing that. Obviously for lols, but you can imagine a world in which you do that for the kids. Look, come on, have some of your what would they be called? Star cumbers.
I don't know.
But then what you're doing is creating an awful precedent for that child. For the rest of their life, they'll be like, no, I don't have cucumber unless it's in the shape
of a
star.
Or they think cucumbers are shaped
They go on into their adult life thinking, why has someone used some sort of willy mould for that star cumber? That is obscene.
You could really set them up. But I like Joe's point that if you grew the square watermelons, you could stack them like Lego.
That was good.
It seemed like a really worthy ambition. All I want in my life is to stack watermelon like Lego.
Yeah, I like that. That's really funny. All right, look, we're going to take a moment for a break. Go and listen to some products, presumably are going to be advertised in your ears right now. I will add that to the list of products at the end of the episode. So we'll do an episode description, not the end of the episode. There'll be an episode description and I'll put growing fruit mold. It's got terrible reviews.
Be flying out the door.
Yeah, exactly. Stand by. We'll be back in a moment to continue our very sort of meandering walk through the Joe Swash episode from the other day. And I want to talk about his sauna t-shirt. We're going to talk about that in a moment. Don't go anywhere. Hello, welcome back to My Mate Bought a Toaster, the spin-off, which is as yet untitled. If you think you've got a title, by the way, for this, we would love to hear from you. Maybe I'm just going to call it As Yet Untitled. We can't use an extra slice because it's already out there.
I like Toasting Joe Swash.
Toasting. Okay, well, I'll call this Toasting Joe Swash. Fine.
It's like the opposite of a roast. We're celebrating him through his products.
Toasting, not roasting. Oh, my God. Toasting, not roasting. If you've got an alternative, tom@toasterpod.com. By the way, that email, very happy to hear from anyone who wants to share their purchases that they have been making on Amazon or elsewhere. We are after the weirdest things that you have been buying. And a few people have been in touch. Hello to Sharon Ely. Should we read the email from Sharon?
Yes.
She's been in touch. Hello, Tom. Love the show. And before you ask for listener Amazon purchases, I had already been inspired to look back at my own Amazon history. Yes, Sharon. This is what happens if you email.
The best diary.
This is the best. Tom@toasterpod.com. That's the email. I started in 2002 with unremarkable books and DVDs.
Classic standard.
I mean, it's how every episode of My Mate Toaster begins, isn't it? That's what we always do. We binged a lot of box sets. 24, Dexter, Seinfeld, 6 Feet Under, West Wing. Although I was surprised to see that on the 18th of December 2005. Oh.
Oh, my God.
Beth has just seen it. I bought a book. I bought a book called Knitting for Dogs. Now, here's my question.
That's mad enough, but what comes next is madder.
Well, the question is this for dogs to learn how to knit or to knit with dog hair?
I think dogs are very clever, but even I wouldn't presume to imagine that dogs can knit.
It would be a great...
It's knitting nice outfits for your dogs.
Oh, so it's not using dog hair, because there is a book. No, there
oh my
is.
God, I haven't even thought about that, because you can make jumpers out of dog fur.
There is a book.
I've considered it.
Yes.
There's a place you can send your dog fur, I think. And they'll turn it into a jumper.
Is that true?
That's Tom Price's July birthday sorted.
Oh my gosh. I'm going to have the best. You could just buy me a golf kit. That's fine. Stick with golf kit. Yeah, I was surprised to see 18th December 2005. I bought a book called Knitting for Dogs, even though I cannot knit and have never owned a dog. Can you imagine?
Sharon, you're mad.
Just running up to dogs in the park. I've knitted you this. I've been watching you from that bench every day. And you looked cold. It was probably a Christmas present for either my mum or mother-in-law, both of which do knit and have dogs. But I've never seen evidence that they have knitted for their dogs. And
they didn't appreciate her thoughtful gift.
No, I know. Well, people rarely do. Look at this. So we've clicked through. Thank you, Sharon, for this. Knitting for Dogs, irresistible patterns for your favourite pup and you. But this is...
Oh, no, you get his and hers.
Right.
So that you wear the same outfit as your dog.
Which is something Beth Morrie, my wife,
I've seen this
does.
Before and I've considered it.
Yeah. Oh, well, you've got jumpers with our dog's faces on.
Yeah, but if I got a jumper that I liked and put Phoebe in the same jumper,
oh,
how cool would we look?
From sequin sweaters to practical rain-resistant coats, Gore-Tex for my Labradoodle, each item is functional and comfortable and, let's face it, will look really cute.
Will they? It's all little dogs, I bet, though. You couldn't get a big dog like Phoebe. It's just too much wool.
Oh, just knit two. That's okay. Very useful, says Joanna. Miss N. Campbell says her review starts woof woof. Classic. God, I love dog people. Lovely pattern book to browse through and easy to knit patterns, given in every size possible. There you are. Answering your question.
I just think it's a lot of work, isn't it? This book has a 4.3 average rating on Amazon, which I can tell you.
Yeah, as a writer, go on. Is that, what's
it's
yours?
Very good.
What's yours?
Five!
You can tell she's lying. She's got a terrible tell when she's lying, when she just starts shouting. Someone says, not quite what I was expecting. I thought it was only for smaller dogs. I could only use one or two of the patterns. Possibly I misunderstood the description when I bought it, but I didn't expect a formal library book. Gosh, someone's annoyed on several levels there.
If it's not new then, no, that is...
It's fine.
Not on.
Clifford says, nice patterns. Wife loves it. It's nice, isn't it?
Why don't you read Kokoro's review and tell me what it means?
El libro es escutio, pero hay diseños muy lindos. Someone could translate that. Tom@toasterpod.com. Thank you. Thank you very much to Sharon. That was a brilliant email. Thank you very much indeed for that. Keep those coming. Tom@toasterpod.com. Dive into your Amazon purchase history. See what you find. And you know the rule on this show. No matter how mundane, the chances are we still want to toast, not roast, what you have been buying. So one of the things, getting back to the Joe Swash episode, one of the things he bought, and this was on TikTok, was this sweat sauna t-shirt, which is just trussing yourself up like a turkey and getting in the sauna in a sort of bid to lose weight.
Oh, no, I don't think it's you get in the sauna in it. You train in it and it makes you sweat more.
Thank you.
And right. I thought you were right to warn him that that could be potentially unhealthy as a practice, not to mention ludicrous looking.
I did feel like, throughout the show, I felt a bit like Stacey. I felt like this is a man who needs guardrails.
He does. And I couldn't decide. I mean, he is the most endearing man alive.
Yes.
And I couldn't decide whether I really, really would love to be married to him or whether I'd... I mean, there are barriers, I understand.
Yeah, I wasn't saying that.
This is just theoretical.
Direction of travel.
Or whether I would hate to be married to him.
Yeah.
Because it is so lovely how excited and enthusiastic he gets about these ridiculous things. But on the other hand, I imagine it could get a bit wearing.
Mm.
And with the gym stuff, because he's bought some kind of weights and pulleys and stuff like that.
Yeah, he's bought pulleys, but he's done that classic thing, which we see on the show all the time. He's not used any of it.
Well, no. But then he bought the in-heel step things for his shoes, which also sounded ludicrous.
He's of a shorter stature and he wants to look a bit taller.
Yeah, and then he bought the fake tan stuff. And it struck me that, I mean, it's understandable in the business that he's in, that he's quite vulnerable and sensitive about his looks and trying to do stuff to alleviate that or make it better.
Yeah.
And that... again, was very endearing.
Yes, it was quite, you're right, it was endearing. And you wanted to say to him, because obviously he's got the teeth, he's got the hairline, which he's had fixed.
Also,
he talked about.
I had gorgeous. No idea he was the same age as you. I'm sorry, I thought he was a lot younger.
Oh, yeah.
I thought he was about 25, not that young.
Right.
But
is that,
I think of him as young.
Who are you insulting him, me or him?
You.
Okay, fine.
He's kind of childlike. So when he said he was 43...
I'm childlike!
Well, to a certain extent. But when he said he was 43, I was really surprised.
I'm older than 43. Thanks for knowing my age.
No, he's 43.
Yeah, I'm 44.
Yeah, I know.
So he's not the same age as me.
Well, just about.
No, he is. He's the same age as me. You're right. And he has a youthful energy about him. But also, I think that when people come to fame at an age, you remember they're sort of frozen at that age.
Yes. I think of him as when he was in EastEnders.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
So I think of him like a kind of boy band member.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. That's what he is. He's a boy band but EastEnders kind of vibe. And you're right. There is a sort of sense where you want to say, because I've done that. I've had my teeth whitened quite recently and I looked into getting the hair thing, but I just can't be bothered because it's really painful. And I haven't necessarily looked at... There's other things, right, that you can buy for vanity and or to make yourself look better. It feels like he's not a vain person at all. It's the pressure of the job that's making him have to do those things.
Yeah.
And
I mean, everyone likes to look nice, but if you're on telly a lot, then it is much more of a thing. Yeah. And that was evident in his purchases, that he's thinking about it a lot.
Yes, he is. Yeah, you're right. You see that. And also, what I love, again, great format. Thank you very much for giving me the format several years ago. But what I loved was that he had to sort of open up about that, because we're looking at this stuff, he can't really talk his way around it. That's the whole point, isn't it? You're looking at it and you can tell.
Yeah, it's very evident.
So you're right. This sauna shirt, again, I'll put a link to this if anyone wants to buy a sauna shirt.
Why you would.
Can you imagine if anyone actually buys one of these off the back of this? Again, it feels like a very masculine thing. And most of our listeners, Beth, are women. I don't know if women would want to do this or not. Does this feel like a man thing to do?
It does. It really does. I mean, maybe I'm wrong, but I've never heard of it for women particularly.
God, it's ridiculous.
Like as a training thing. So, and I certainly am not interested. Whereas some of the stuff, like his fake tan stuff, when he was talking about the mitts, I was like, ooh, I struggle with mitts. I like fake tanning. I might have a look at that.
What was he saying about mitts?
He'd bought some particular type of mitt to put on his fake tan. You know when his mum, Stacey's mum was doing the small of his back. He'd bought like a long mitt that allowed you to get to your back.
When we recorded the episode, do you know how hard it was for me not to make a joke about the song Stacey's Mum?
Stacey's Mum.
As she was putting on his fake tan. Stacey's Mum.
That's a bit
has
weird.
Has she got it going on? But honestly, I spent at least 3 minutes of him talking in the back of my mind going, Stacey's Mum, can I? Where's the Stacey Mum reference?
No, you can't do it.
Can't do that. It was weird. I wouldn't let my mother-in-law put fake tan on my back.
No.
Would you let my
mum? I mean,
mum?
She really wouldn't want to.
I'm not sure.
I think she'd flat out refuse.
I think Louise Morris is a bit of a fan of me, actually. I think she probably would. Yeah. So look, this jacket, this pic, someone's got an review.
Is it like foil inside?
Yeah, so it looks, oh God, that's very prominent.
Looks really uncomfortable.
Man nipple there, isn't it? Wow, okay, fair enough. And then, so inside, it's not quite tin foil, but it is sort of, it's that reflective. Do you know what it is? It's just plasticky material.
It's probably not very ecological. You can get swimming costumes like that, but they're for a different reason, a good reason, which is they sort of keep, they're slightly thermal and they keep you warm in cold water.
Right.
That makes sense. This does not make sense.
And also, isn't it a bit dangerous?
I feel like it might be.
I get really spooked about being too hot when I'm working out.
Yeah, that's overheating. Not... I mean, you're hot anyway.
Yeah, I don't know. If anyone uses one, get in touch, tom@toasterpod.com.
I also don't know why sweating is good. I suppose it is in saunas and stuff. Maybe sweating is good.
Is it? Don't you lose a lot of salts when you sweat?
I don't know, but I've got addicted to saunas this year and I really like going for one. And I heard that it has massive health benefits. And I assume that part of the health benefits are to do with sweating.
Right.
I don't know.
You just sound like the most privileged person in the world.
I know.
I've just got so addicted to saunas. I mean, obviously in Sweden... They'd be like, yeah.
It's a normal thing.
It's a normal thing. It's like being addicted to crossing the road.
Mm. They all have one in their houses.
I don't know about that.
No, apparently they do in like blocks of flats. You'll get a communal sauna.
Oh. I don't either. I can't stand being hot.
I never thought I would, but it feels like, you know, when you're on holiday on the beach and you're baking in the sun and there's a moment where you close your eyes and you just sort of feel really relaxed. You get that feeling. Right. And I've become addicted to that. But I'm only about like 5 or 6 minutes at the moment.
22 years in, it's another reason why we are fundamentally mismatched. Because my default, my go-to is cold. Make me cold. Because when I can manage cold, I can deal with cold and I can sort cold out. It make me hot and that's the end of the world. Whereas you are the exact opposite. You hate being cold.
Cold is painful. Warm is uncomfortable. And uncomfortable is better than painful.
And yet you're the person... who goes wild swimming every 20 minutes.
That's just a different rule. That's where everything reverses.
Well, listen, we can talk more about wild swimming, but we won't, because you should go and listen to Wild Swimming Wangers, which is Beth's brand new wonderful podcast, which you do with the writer Marianne Levy. And you
talk wang on.
You wang on about swimming. And my God, that you really can talk about swimming is quite impressive.
Okay.
All right. So look, that is the sauna jumper, which I'm not going to get. But if any of you get one, I'll put a link out there. I don't know. Look, but interestingly, I said in a very slapdash bit of gender stereotyping, this feels like a man thing. The people who are writing reviews here, Cat Lady, Fatima, and Miss Samantha, worth it. This vest definitely worked. I'm so happy with it. Starting my workout journey, I put the vest on just during the school run. That's intense.
I mean, it's a fuck. What, she literally school run?
Yeah, during the school run and some housework, and I've started dripping.
Hang on, when it works, what does she mean it works? It makes her sweat.
Yeah.
Working would be, and I lost 10 pounds or something.
It's a great fit and comfortable under my clothes. It's a sort of, it's like a hair vest, isn't it? An exercise hair vest. I'll be testing it in the gym shortly. Looking forward to the results with this vest on. She does the school run with a sweat vest on.
That's odd.
Honestly, people are really strange, aren't they?
Stick to my pyjamas.
Yeah, of course. That's the only way to do it. In the dressing gown.
That is the uniform of the school run.
Exactly. All right, well, I'll add that onto the list of items from today's episode. Right, any other business before we finish? We've only got about 2 minutes left. We've done tongue scraper. We've done chopping board. We've done the watermelon molds, the sweat vest. Anything else from Joe's episode, Beth, before we finish?
I've got to try and remember. Can you...
Yeah, I've got my notes here from the episode. Don't forget, of course, the Joe Swash episode is on iPlayer. So if you haven't yet watched it, then do, because I was on BBC One and the show was on BBC One and it was very exciting. And also, he and Stacey are just gorgeous. I love the whole thing.
Oh, I love them. Yeah. I've remembered something that I thought was sort of key to the episode, which was, well, sometimes they were referred to as ducks and sometimes chickens, but the things that you put on your finger and flick at each other.
Yeah, he bought off the TikTok shop.
Yes. And I just thought that sort of summed him up so well. It was such a fucking stupid thing to buy. And there were like 20 of them, and he bought them for something like £1.79.
Did anyone else think of the plastic implications?
Yeah, it was bad. And also, he said he clears up after himself, and I could imagine Stacey in the background going, "You do not clean up after yourself." So I would quibble about that. But I could also just imagine the joy of it, them all running around the house shrieking, flicking these things at each other. And I thought it was that perfect mix of warm and endearing and ridiculous and annoying at the same time. But he was right to buy them on TikTok, because I looked them up on Amazon and they're about £6 on Amazon. So he actually got a bargain.
The cost of flickable ducks is inflated on Amazon.
Yes.
I mean, what a bombshell to end today's spin-off episode on.
Buy on TikTok.
Incredible. Go on the TikTok shop. And let us know again, if you do go on TikTok shop, what do you buy on there? I haven't even set my TikTok shop up. I should do that. But the podcast is on TikTok, of course. You know that. You already follow us. If you don't, go and find us. There's links in the episode description to TikTok, Instagram, and of course our YouTube. And that's it for today's Little Joe Swash side toast. Toasting Joe Swash?
Toasting Joe Swash.
We'll do this again soon. Should we do this again?
Yes.
Are you available?
I might be if I'm downstairs in the kitchen.
Right, okay, fine, all right, good. I'll work out a fee structure for you then. Okay, thank you very much to my guest, Beth Murray, whose latest book, Isabella's Not Dead, is out soon? June. Okay, fine, good. All right, see you soon. All the best kind regards. Oh, by the way, I should say before we finish, next week, Dale Elliott is on the show. That's going to be out on Tuesday. Dale Elliott is a fantastic American-based, he's from Jamaica originally, lives in America. He's a comedian, YouTuber, and he is going to be the guest next week. And it's very, very interesting, and that's going to be out on Tuesday.
Excellent.
There you go. All right, see you then. Bye, bye, bye. It's my made water toaster. Oh, it's my made water toaster. Yeah, yeah, my made water.